Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Hillside homes in Portland are threatened after record rains. The Supreme Court sides with the Westboro Baptist Church, and two fetuses will testify in Ohio.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, prepare yourselves! For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2011. Melting snow and the recent deluge of rain was causing hillsides to break free in many areas in and around Portland yesterday. Closing roads. That would be the word, roads.
Breaking free makes it sound like they're sort of like they're throwing off their shackles of tyranny and oppression.
They are. They're tired of being under the foot of the man.
Run, leap, dance.
Closing roads and even threatening some homes. Portland Parks and Recreation reported the latest landslide happened above Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge. The active slide closed the paved connector trail between the parking lot on Southeast Milwaukee and the spring water on the Willamette. At daybreak, there were huge springs flowing down the hill. The slippage has been happening over the last several years. A geologist will have to determine whether it's safe for people to remain in their homes.
Remember, if you see your reflection in the snow-covered hill, the landslide will have brought you down.
Yes.
I could have gone the Silver Spring route with that, and I didn't. I went the other way.
I feel like twirling now.
Please don't. Okay. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, March 2nd, 2011, coming up later on this hour. Your entertainment news, also science on the march. Don't forget, if you want to get this program later on today, perhaps so you can inflict it on a loved one or a hated coworker. You can do that at iTunes. Also, as a direct MP3 download, it can be gotten here or at legionofnews.com and on your mobile device. It is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
The famous line about disapproving what someone has to say but defending their right to say it gained new trenchancy today as the Supreme Court ruled that the anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church is legally allowed to stage bigoted public protests. In an 8-1 vote, with Justice Samuel Alito dissenting, the court sided with the church against the father of a Marine who sued after Westboro picketed his son's funeral in 2006, ruling that the protest was protected under the First Amendment. The decision overturns a ruling the year after in favor of Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder's family, which forced the church to pay $7.9 million for invasion of privacy and emotional distress. Westboro maintains the deaths of servicemen are divine punishment for tolerance of homosexuality and is known for showing up at military funerals with signs reading, God hates you.
Today,
I was trying to cue up a bit of sound there.
Thank God for dead soldiers.
Yes.
Writing for the majority, Justice John Roberts noted the protest wasn't visible from Snyder's funeral and didn't interfere with the family's grieving.
So this is one of those things. I'm going to have some sound, maybe not in this show. Maybe next hour we'll have some sound from the actual Supreme Court decision on this. But it's one of those things where when you start to read the decision, like there's part of my brain that wants to go, you know, woohoo, offensive people defended by law as well.
Yeah.
But then part of me goes like, crap.
Screw them.
Yeah, because it's, you know. Because there are those, Don Taylor, who would say that our words give the gravest of offense, even though we merely bring a humble truth to the good people of Portland and beyond. This is a thing that I know it's difficult to believe. I know that it's hard to fathom this. I know that your brain hears it and rejects it outright as a falsehood, as a bit of flim-flammery. But there are those who do not, they don't necessarily cotton to what we do, as my grandmother would say. They don't,
really?
They don't truck with our brand of humor and satire, and they would gladly see us. They would gladly see us manacled into an awful silence, Don.
People only say the nicest things to me.
Yeah, well, that's when you're around. Whole different story when you're out of the room.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't like to tell you these things, but sometimes in the course of human events, when relaying the news to the people, an unpleasant truth must be spoken. The point is, I don't like to side with bigots. I just like to side with people who inadvertently help me out.
There's that.
So, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. It's like if you got a neighbor and his house is burning down and he's a real jackass, he's just an a-hole, and you just you root for personal and professional pain and suffering and defeat for all of the, you know, for all aspects and facets of his life. But then you realize it's like he's got your collection of Mother Jones magazines from 1972 in there, and you got to have those back. And so the fire department comes and they put that guy's house out, which sucks because on the one hand you were hoping to see him just a good smiting once and but on the other hand, it's you have inadvertently secured one of your own possessions.
I still maintain that that yes, they should have the right to protest, but there should also be laws in place that if they protest the funeral of someone you care about, you get to go across the street and punch them in the face.
Or just
you get one shot at one of them.
Or just see the thing is, I wouldn't even want the government enforcing that. Here's what somebody ought to do: they ought to just make not just with the Westboro Baptist Church, but any group like this. There ought to just be a sort of private citizens agreement made. Sort of like, look, we can continue to file lawsuits against you, and we can tie up your organization with litigation, and we can drain you financially by just having to haul you in front of courts everywhere you go so that you get the right to come back and scream about gays. We can do that. We can continue to bog you down in financial and legal torpor, the likes of which you have never known. Or we can just roll Chambeau and we'll kick you in the nads, like twice. You know, we'll just toss dice over here. We send over our two guys. They just give you what for right in the store a couple times, and then we'll call it even. And look, they may say no. They may say that that's not a deal that is advantageous for them, but they might accept it. In which case, we have solved all kinds of problems and we've streamlined the legal situation on top of it.
We should work on that. Get on that.
Yeah, I know. I got all this TV to watch, though.
Yeah. An East Los Angeles man who allegedly made more than 18,000 prank 911 cell phone calls over 6 months was arrested on Friday, according to the California Highway Patrol. Maurice Cruz, 43, was booked on suspicion of misusing 911 emergency lines to annoy or harass, a misdemeanor punishable by a $1,000 fine, up to 6 months in jail or both.
Please tell me that at some point the judge banged his gavel and reminded him that 911 is not a joke.
Oh, I hope so. He was released Friday afternoon on $5,000 bail. The CHP alleges Cruz made many of the calls on a deactivated cell phone, which does not provide the caller's location or cell phone number, in order to make the calls difficult to trace. CHP and Secret Service investigators, however, tracked him down to a home in East L.A. and took him into custody. Authorities did not reveal a motive or give any detail on the 18,000 calls he made to 911.
The irony would be if the cops were there and just as some sort of a you know, punitive measure for wasting their time and wasting the time of, and probably tying up phone lines on which real emergencies were trying to be called in. If the cops just gave him a good savage beating and he was unable to get anybody to come to his aid.
That would be good.
No, really, honestly. Come on, no, they're breaking my legs as we speak. What? Hello? Here's Don Taylor.
A 21-year-old man from Kosovo has been arrested after reportedly opening fire on a bus full of American servicemen outside of Germany's Frankfurt airport. A police spokesman told Germany's Die Welt newspaper that the incident may have occurred on the bus. According to reports, they killed an American soldier and the bus's driver and injured two others. Officials aren't sure what motivated the attack, but the BBC notes that Frankfurt is home to the U.S. Air Force's headquarters in Europe, which is often associated with Germany's unpopular military initiatives in Afghanistan.
Do we really need to note that Germany's military initiatives are, quote, unpopular anywhere?
President Obama expressed outrage over the shooting deaths. The president made his remarks during the news media briefing today at the White House. Mr. Obama says it's a reminder of how important our servicemen and women are to the country.
This is a stark reminder of the extraordinary sacrifices that our men and women in uniform are making all around the world to keep us safe and the dangers that they face all around the globe.
So it's in Germany, but the guys from where?
Kosovo.
I don't trust people from Kosovo. I mean, just between you and me. And the Kosovians.
Okay.
I look askance at them.
You give them the stink eye?
That's
do
right.
You?
That's right. I start with the eye.
Oh, God. No, not that. Obama says the U.S. will work hard to find and prosecute the person or persons who did this.
I want everybody to understand that we will spare no effort in learning how this outrageous act took place and in working with German authorities to ensure that all of the perpetrators are brought to justice.
Well, seriously, how big is Kosovo? Couldn't we just get rid of the entire place by this afternoon? I mean, really. I mean, it's just, can you even see Kosovo on a map?
You know, there are probably some lovely people in Kosovo. You don't
sure.
know. There and, are probably some fine.
And in Germany.
Delightful people. There are probably musicians there and artists and cobblers, people who are just delightful.
Well, never mind.
Ladies wearing scarves around their heads, making cheese.
Okay. I don't think that's really the case. I think you're confusing that with something else. Maybe a place that doesn't exist.
Okay.
Or not. I
don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Authorities responded to a Portland middle school after a bottle bomb exploded in the bathroom. Portland fire and medical personnel were dispatched to Ron Russell Middle School at 3955 Southeast 112th Avenue, as was a bomb technician from the Metropolitan Explosives Disposal Unit.
What is a bottle bomb?
Well, it's an empty water bottle that has been refilled with liquid drain cleaner and tin foil.
Okay.
And apparently the drain cleaner is corrosive and it reacts with the tin foil and the bottle explodes.
But what happened to it reacts with the tin foil? It doesn't set the tin foil on fire, though.
No, but it probably creates some kind of a gas that causes the bottle to expand and explode.
Oh, I see. So it might not. It might not explode in a flame kind of way. It explodes in a sort of pressure, like a. You do that thing when you're a kid of like you shoot the cork in the air with the water vinegar solution inside a bottle.
Except it's drain cleaner, so I suppose if it got in people's eyes as it was
you don't
exploding
want that.
And stuff, it would still be bad.
It's a bad thing.
Three children and a janitor, in fact, were treated for fume inhalation at the scene. Evacuations were made from the second floor of the school, and children were led into the gymnasium, but police have made no arrests. A spokesman for the David Douglas School District said if a student is responsible, he or she will be suspended or expelled and could face criminal charges in juvenile court.
They will be suspended or expelled.
Yeah, and could face criminal charges.
Don't we, in fact, expel people for bringing nail clippers to school at this point?
Basically, what they're saying
is... Why would they even put a suspension on the table? Why are they even... Is that sort of like a, it just fell out of my backpack.
Yeah, basically, they're saying that if a student is responsible, they could get anything from jail time or sent to juvie to a stern talking to and a couple of days at home to watch TV.
You know, here's the thing about... Here's the thing about juvie. Did you ever get taken there like on a scared straight thing when you were growing up?
No, but I knew a girl whose brother had been there, and that was enough for me.
Yeah.
It was just to hear the secondhand stories.
Yeah, I seemed to end up, I wouldn't even say they were friends, but I seemed to end up just knowing a lot of kids, probably because I was stuck in those kind of classes. Like, I was stuck in, like, all the, you know, the classes for kids who couldn't pass anything else. Like, I would just fail one math class after another, and they would just downgrade me. It's like they would just keep turning the dial, the intelligence gauge down. And so finally I was in this math class with nothing but skaters and football players. And it's like you would just turn up and it's like half the football players would be gone.
This couldn't have anything to do with you wearing nothing but Led Zeppelin t-shirts and occasionally showing up dressed as Paul Stanley.
Well, I don't know that there was a causal relationship there, but I think a correlative relationship was probably in existence. But yeah, like half the football players would just, they'd be gone because they would just, they'd go cow tipping or something, and they'd end up in the clink for a couple of days. And then the skateboarders were always just, like huffing paint thinner and setting fire to things. Cracking ollies in the most socially unacceptable ways.
Cracking ollies?
Yes.
Is that a skateboarding thing?
It's a thing that they do.
Okay.
Anyway, and so you would sort of hear about it. They'd get back after like 4 or 5 days. But then when I was in like maybe ninth grade, they took us on a tour through there. And I think it was one of those like the gates of Sing Sing, where they were dragging us, hoping that we would see like the hard knock life that that existed. And it was a freaky place. It was a really... Here's the strange thing about the juvenile center in Kennewick, which was always full, by the way, because they were always having to truck kids off to Walla Walla because the one in Kennewick would just be filled to capacity. And it's... I mean, when a prison... When they won't put any more people in a prison, you know that it's over full. In retrospect, it looked a lot like the inside of, Oz? The Oswald Penitentiary, the place on the show, which I guess is a good thing because that's, I guess, the prison of the future or something. But now I think back and it's just a whole lot of raping and tendon cutting.
In my upper middle class, very, very white, aerospace, money-fueled suburb where I grew up, we had a bad kids school.
The
alternative school. Pacific Shores was the alternative school. And my friend's brother, who had to go to juvie for a while, he went to Pacific Shores. And I was over at her house one day, and he was telling me about it. And it was like, and I'm suffering miserably through, like, regular high school. And he's going, oh, yeah, they let you learn stuff at your own pace. And there's music classes. And you only have to go a half a day. And I'm just going, what? He's like, oh, yeah, we do art, like, 2 whole days a week. And I'm going, I want to go to that school. And he told me, I swear to God, he just looked at me and he goes, well, just go to class and, like, just go crazy in class. Start throwing some chairs around or something. And maybe you can get them to send you there.
Or get pregnant. That's the other way that's the other way. In Kennewick, if you got pregnant, they sent you one of two places. Either the alternative school or they would send you to the vocational center, which is where I ended up because that's where the radio TV program was. So you were incarcerated over there with the kids who were, like, learning how to do, like, you know, auto shop. And then the pregnant chicks all got stuck in this class where they I swear to God, they spent, like, 5 months teaching how to operate a cash register because that was the station in life to which you would rise and no further. I always had this theory about the alternative school, though. My theory was, because I never got sent to alternative school, that was one of those things where many, if not most, of my friends did some, because they would always, that's also where summer school was. Mm. So it's like the alternative school and the summer school, that was a thing that I never had to go to. I just, because I was an F-up, but I wasn't like but I wasn't a criminal, I wasn't a screw-up. I was like the least interesting version of, how do I put this? I had all of the social cool of the Anthony Michael Hall character. In the Breakfast Club, but all the academic ability of the Judd Nelson character. So I was like the worst of all worlds. I wasn't cool. I wasn't a badass. I wasn't interesting or sexy, dangerous, crazy cool in any sort of way. I was just completely lame.
You were Anthony
lame.
Michael Hall.
But the thing is, he was actually, a member of the physics club and the chess club. I was a member of nothing.
Okay, you were...
a member of detention. That's what I was a
member. You were Anthony Michael Hall in Pretty in Pink.
Yes, I was a member of the academic probation club. But so I never got to go to summer school or alternative school. I knew kids that did, though. I always suspected that the alternative school was secretly exactly the same thing as the, like, advanced magnet school that they sent the brilliant kids to. They just called it different things depending on the conversation. Because you'd hear you'd hear the kids that went off to, it was called COG, which is a sort of interesting name, but kind of like Opportunity for the Gifted. And I was, of course, never allowed to go there. But you would hear these kids who went to COG talk about it, and they would say, oh, all we do all day is we just sit and paint and play the zither. And it was exactly what you would hear the kids who went to the alternative school talk about. And so I suspect that it was exactly the same place. If you were just a screw-up in class and couldn't pay attention, they just sent you there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, not that I'm bitter about it.
No.
Here's Don Taylor.
A DUI suspect in Los Angeles crashed a sports utility vehicle into a South Los Angeles sober living home early Saturday. The driver and the passenger were trapped in his Ford Explorer temporarily after the vehicle slammed into the Watts Healthcare Corporation Incorporated building just before 1 a.m. Once the two were rescued from inside the vehicle, they were taken to local hospitals along with four building residents. According to the officials, the driver may be held accountable for driving under the influence, although no more details have been made available.
Can I just tell you, as a result of Charlie Sheen, every time there's any sort of a story in which I can yell out a verb or a, you know, like a gerund form that ends in ing, I'm going to do so like a crashing. I don't know why. Did you watch the Sheen thing?
No.
Oh, come on.
I was out. I was at a movie last night, and then I was busy all morning, and I haven't seen the Sheen thing. I was counting on you to glean great quotes from... Come on, don't give me that look.
I'm not angry so much as I am disappointed,
Don. I know. I can tell.
I don't even... Okay, well, see, with that... Already now, see, I can just feel it. The Sheen fatigue is setting in, because there's no way... And sir, we can't talk any more about it this hour. We have to wait because it'll take us. This really will derail the rest of the program if we talk about it.
And I do not have Sheen fatigue because when I went to the movie, while I was waiting for the movie to start, I was getting excited because I was getting the Twitter updates on my phone
telling me
that he had posted something to Twitter.
And
I go, there's a Sheen. And Patrick is going, don't put your phone away. I'm going, but Charlie Sheen said something.
He's like at 300,000 followers the last time I checked. The Sheen fatigue, of course, is that whole thing where you immediately become tired at the prospect of having to explain to somebody his latest round of crazy. So we'll have to wait until next year. I will just say this. For people who are saying that it was like the most epic interview they've ever seen on television, that there's nothing else they've ever seen in the history, they're right. They are absolutely right.
Oh, damn it. Really?
It may be the single best thing I've seen on TV.
Oh, man.
Like in the last year or so. I mean, it really... And it may be the best sort of unscripted, you know, I don't know, the best news or reality interview I have ever seen in my life. I mean, it was unreal. It was, the only other thing I'll say about it, and then we'll do the rest of it next hour, because I got the whole thing. I brought the entire thing in with me in audio form. I will say this, it was better and creepier and more packed with awesome than that thing where, where what's-his-name interviewed Michael Jackson and he went on the spending spree in the, you know, at the Bellagio and talked about, you know, why can't you share your bed with somebody? It was better than that. What was that guy's name? That guy that interviewed Jackson in like 2005.
Oh yeah, that guy when Michael Jackson went up the tree and
yeah. Anyway, it was better than that.
Oh God. Okay.
So anyway,
well, I'll see what I can do in between shows and watch a little bit of it. So.
All right, here's Dawn Taylor.
Attorneys for the Vancouver, Washington woman who splashed acid on her own face in a bizarre hoax were working on a possible plea deal for theft charges after the defense team Tuesday gave prosecutors her mental evaluation. Last August, 28-year-old Bethany Storrow claimed an unknown black woman threw acid in her face. She later admitted her injuries were self-inflicted. Her attorney argued yesterday they needed more time to evaluate her for insanity and diminished capacity or the inability to form intent to commit the crime. Storrow has pleaded not guilty to three theft counts for $28,000 collected from fundraisers set up on her behalf. Prosecutors and her defense attorney Tuesday were working on a possible plea agreement.
You know what somebody should do? If only so then David E. Kelly can steal it and write it into an episode of Boston Legal. Somebody should sue a church for all the tithing they've given over the years, saying that they have been swindled because there is no God.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm just saying. Doesn't that seem like a thing that would come out of David E. Kelly's head?
Yeah. Of course, then you end up with the situation, though, that you can't prove a negative.
No, but the church claims there is God.
Right.
And so you could say, well, if they swindled you, then it would just be an entire trial. You could just bring in an entire panel of scientific experts to say that, and then the consensus would be that, there is no evidence that God exists. And
so you should get your money back.
And that the church, and also that the church has no reasonable grounds to believe that he does. That the church knowingly engaged in a falsehood because they have no reasonable grounds on which to believe that the money was actually going to the higher cause that they purport to serve.
You should scribble that down on a napkin and mail it to David E. Kelly.
Just send it to Joe Esterhaus. Idea for you. Awesome.
I wrote this.
And it's good. I don't even really care enough to file to file such a lawsuit. As I've said before, I'm sort of a dyed-in-the-wool agnostic, so I don't even know that I'd call myself an atheist. Here's the thing. The Sheen story is going to end at some point, and we'll need something else to amuse us. So I'm trying to generate whatever the next big media thing might be just so we can watch it.
Well, I have a story here that was sent to us by alert listener William. Louisiana cops announced today the arrest of a 32-year-old woman on charges she illegally fondled and caressed a female coworker at a Waffle House restaurant. Jennifer Pulsifer is facing a felony sexual battery charge in connection with a pair of incidents last March. Pulsifer is pictured above, and I'll show you the photograph in a minute, in a St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office mugshot. Investigators claim Pulsifer ran her hand between the legs of a fellow employee who had bent over to pick up some change.
Awesome.
Quote, caressing her genitalia in the process, unquote.
Wait a minute. So who is accused?
There are waitresses at a Waffle House.
So they're accused of unwanted hot lesbian action?
Apparently. Awesome. Although, well, how hot it is.
They're at a Waffle House, but I mean, you know. They're waitresses.
Here's a picture of Jennifer Pulsifer.
Oh, no, yeah, see, no. Why did you show me that?
Really. Sorry, I wanted you to have the full picture.
You didn't. You wanted to crush my dreams.
Yeah. Pulsifer also, over the following days, allegedly continued to make sexual remarks aimed at the victim. And on March 10th, she reached into the victim's bra to fondle her breast. Pulsifer was already in jail on an unrelated narcotics charge. And so she was now also hit with misdemeanor simple battery in addition to a felony sexual battery count.
Doesn't seem like you can just reach into somebody's bra all that easy.
No.
I mean, that's a thing. That's really, you got to make an appointment for that. That's...
Unless it's a, you know, a sort of a loose-fitting bra.
Unless it's a real loose Waffle House. Yeah. It's a real, yes. It's a place called St. Tammany. Oh. So, I mean, I guess you can draw your own conclusions
It's Louisiana.
Yeah.
Right. So.
By the way, apparently Jeff has sheen fatigue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeff Futzer? Has he futzered the sheen?
No, you know.
No, different Jeff.
You know Jeff.
Oh.
Jeff. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Really? You were here. We had a whole conversation about it.
Did we?
Yeah, Sarah and Greg and you and I. You were here. You were taking part in it.
Okay.
All right, never mind.
I love
it. Okay.
I have a short attention span. Like a dog. What?
On the screen, I swear to God, there's pictures of bumblebees. This is Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next hour. Though it sounds not all the time like we can barely keep control of this show, there's actually like another 3 hours worth of broadcast we have to manage every day. Next hour, RickEmersonShow.com. It is RickEmersonShow.com. Today we'll talk to Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. He's going to talk about the cover piece in this week's issue, which he wrote, which is about a church that was dosing children with hallucinogenic teas.
Ah.
So we will talk to Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. Also,
we have a penis watch.
Penis watch and...
and I believe a geek watch.
Geek watch. So penis watch and geek watch. Plus today's top five. Actually, yesterday's top five. We didn't get through it yesterday because we were all sheened out. Today's top five. The top five songs used by me, Rick Emerson, to obtain show mode.
Yeah, we didn't get to a lot of things yesterday because we were spending so much time trying to figure out how to set up our Twitter account so it would send Charlie Sheen tweets to our phones.
It's really fantastic. It was quite a day. I'm glad that I was alive to see it. I feel bad for... Cheryl was texting me last night during the... You know, people do that live blogging. And she really just does live texting, like, to me. That's as far as it goes. But I just told her last night about halfway through the 2020 thing. I said, I feel sorry for people of the past who were not alive to see this moment. Who were not here to witness Charlie Sheen. I feel bad for them. I mean, that's really the horror of being born then.
See, this is why I need a DVR, so I could set things like this. And when I have to go out and see a movie... Like Rango, like I saw last night, which was awesome.
That's what you said.
Then I could come home and watch Charlie Sheen. Both the House and Senate have approved a bill to extend funding for federal government operations for another 2 weeks. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell challenges Senate Democrats to reveal how they want to pay for government in the longer term.
What the Speaker and I are saying makes perfectly good sense. Where is the Senate Democratic proposal? Where are they? On the question of how do we fund the government for the balance of the year.
My jowls are huge.
House Speaker John Boehner challenges Congress to come up with a long-term funding bill without delay.
If you give Congress 4 weeks, guess what? They'll take 4 weeks. If you give them 6 weeks, they'll take 6 weeks. We've got 2 weeks. Let's get the job done.
Okay. I mean, I guess
it's
that
like
makes
a human calendar.
That makes sense, I suppose. I mean, he is right about that. It's Congress is no different than like you know anybody. They'll spend as much as they have, and you know, and then some. But I guess that also presumes that. I mean, I guess that would also carry a lot more weight if that hadn't, if this hadn't already happened like 15 times over the past 10 years. So it's not like there's lessons learned anywhere.
Let's do our science news.
Here's your science on the march. for Wednesday, right here at Legion of News at Cascadia.fm, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to SquiresElectric.com. That is SquiresElectric.com, or call 503-252-1609. Wires are wiring from your home or business. Whether you are moving your business into your home, if you're going to be branching out, you're going to be starting your own corporation, if you're going to be starting your own company, if you're going to be just taking one location for your business and making it two, making it four, or if you just got an inspection coming up, you want to make sure you pass it the first time around and that you know, you don't break the bank having to get everything up to code, you can get Squires Electric out there to make sure that you're going to pass the inspection to fix whatever needs fixing. And if there's some sort of disaster, some sort of a catastrophe that befalls you, you got to have something upgraded or repaired, or you got to have smoke or water damage taken care of, or you're going to be redoing the basement or something, you want to make sure it's all that it's all 220 or beyond. Squires Electric can handle that for you. SquiresElectric.com is the website, or 503-252-1609. That's 503-252-1609. They've been in Portland for 13 years, and they are longtime sponsors of Legion of News and the Rick Emerson radio program, Squires Electric. Here's Don Taylor.
Federal wildlife biologists have declared the eastern cougar to be extinct. The U.S. Field, Fish and Wildlife Service has concluded there are no longer any wild populations of mountain lions in the eastern United States. Researchers believe the
subspecies. We win a prize?
Yes.
We finally got
Woo-hoo!
The. Is this like when you get like? Is this like when you get the last red ball off the screen in Peggle?
I think this is really what we as Americans are fighting for. You know, as like, let's see if we can wipe out as humans, really. Wiping out as many species as we possibly can. We can now mark off another one
something
on the wall.
Something to pair up with the sparkling whale-free seas of Japan.
Yes. Put a big red check next to the mountain lion.
Done.
Researchers believe the subspecies has probably been extinct since the 1930s.
Oh.
So apparently...
we won a long time ago.
Yeah.
In your face, mountain lion.
Wednesday's declaration paves the way for the eastern cougar to be removed from the endangered species list.
Well, so it's good news, sort of.
There have been numerous sightings of mountain lions from Maine to South Carolina, but the Wildlife Service contends those cougars were either escaped or released captives or came from the West or South America. Like, I guess they were on vacation or something. The agency's decision to declare the eastern cougar extinct does not affect the status of the Florida panther, which is another endangered wildcat.
Somebody, okay, just for my perverse amusement, somebody should write this as a newspaper headline, but the headline should be, you know, like rare cougar removed from endangered species list, and then just go on with the article and, you know, and reveal the extinction in the second sentence. Just to keep the news interesting for people, to get a little bit of a head snap to start your morning. It's like an unofficial Onion story.
New evidence suggests that two anti-drug campaigns may actually be working. A study looked at a self...
Wait, don't tell me. Faces of meth.
No. The marijuana ones aimed at teenagers. A study looked at self-reported exposure to two anti-drug campaigns and measured the frequency of drug use in teens from 20 middle school communities. Messages that highlighted... Well, middle school kids, come on. They don't have money to buy pot. So, of course it's going down. Messages that highlighted teen autonomy and aspirations were more effective than previous campaigns with more negative focuses. Aiming to measure the effectiveness of an experimental campaign, be under your own influence, Ohio State University professor of communication Michael Slater said he and his colleagues couldn't help but study the national campaign Above the Influence as well. The researchers realized the two unrelated campaigns were launched at the same time and promoted similar messages. The results of the Be Under Your Own Influence campaign are swamped by the effects of the national campaign. Slater said both campaigns focused on the inconsistencies of teens' personal autonomy and how drugs affect that balance. So I guess what they figured out is that it's more effective to tell people, to tell teenagers, hey, you're kind of like being a douche if you smoke pot because other people like... kind of want you to, and you could possibly screw up your life, than the traditional method of telling them that it's evil.
And
it's bad, and it's evil, and it will lead you to, like, living in the gutter and shooting up heroin and jumping out of windows and lighting your hair on fire.
That Above the Influence campaign, I mean, I'm not the one it's targeted at, obviously, but it's actually, I mean, it's sort of interesting. I will say that the first time I saw a billboard that said Above the Influence, I actually just sort of gave them points just for the phrase, which I sort of like. I don't know if it's actually really effective or not, but I will say that this echoes something that I've said for a long time, which is specifically about teen smoking, about cigarette smoking. That rather than just all of this ludicrous crap that they do of, like, putting a blackened lung or something on the front of the package, they ought to just say, like, you know, like when you smoke, you're just giving money to old white guys, like over and over and over again. You know, the white guys who own the farms, the white guys who tax it, the white guys who will take care of you when you're in an iron lung someday. So, and just have a, and just like have a conference room with like, you know, sort of grinning, evil looking old white guy, just wrinkled old southern white man, just staring at going, thank you. I mean, that's because that really, that really is the ad campaign that would work that no one will probably ever do.
Also, I think given the vanity of people in general, particularly young women, if you focused on how it like, you know, gives you really horrible breath and makes your teeth brown, and then eventually you get these little wrinkles like around your lips that you wouldn't get if you weren't sucking on a cigarette, then maybe that might make them go, oh yeah.
Also,
it's unattractive.
If you're a guy, it'll keep your schlong from working eventually. So you got that.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, because it screws up your blood circulation.
Yeah, that's true.
No flow, no go, Don.
There's your campaign there.
That's right.
That's why
they don't put me in charge of those things.
Experts say that the kind of unethical medical studies that occurred half a century ago could still happen again, despite more than 1,000 rules and regulations that should prevent them. Bioethicists and researchers spoke Tuesday before a presidential panel in Washington. The meeting was triggered by the government's apology last fall for federal doctors infecting prisoners and mental patients in Guatemala with syphilis 65 years ago. Sorry for the syphilis. President Barack Obama ordered his Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues to explore whether such a study could ever happen again. Speakers noted that over the last several decades, as many as 1,000 rules, regulations, and guidelines have been enacted worldwide to ensure the ethical conduct of medical research. In the United States, there are rules to protect people in every study done by federal scientists, funded by federal agencies, or those testing a product requiring federal approval. But that oversight is inconsistent. Ethical rules can vary between federal agencies. What's more, if federal funding or review is not involved, an unethical study could be done and no one in authority would ever know about it. So Eric Meslin of Indiana University Center for Bioethics said, "We have a leaky system."
Okay.
So basically what they're saying is we could infect people with syphilis and, you know, give them extra eyeballs and cut off their feet to see if they'll grow new ones and all these other things.
Well, you say that like it's not cool, and it is. I mean, there's just no getting around that. Sometimes you got to break eggs to make an omelet, or Guatemalans in this case.
Yes.
By the way, a country where the government actually has death squads, it seems like maybe medical testing that falls outside the bounds of propriety is not like concern number one, but you know.
Well, and that seems to be how we think of these things at the United States government. We go, well, where are there a bunch of brown people and chaos? Let's experiment on them.
Well, I mean, it's sort of that thing of it's the hiding in plain sight, you know? Where's the place where everything sucks already? Let's just do this there. Like Haiti, for example.
That's all the science.
All right, there's your science on the march for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2011. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. The home of quality. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. That is rickemersonshow.com. Remind me, I don't have it in front of me. Remind me later. I have to welcome another listener.
Okay.
Just sort of, one just flashed across the transom. I know that's not where the things, I know that the transoms don't have things flash and flashing things don't cross transoms. You know what I mean, though?
Flashing things could cross transoms.
I guess. If it was like a lamp and you threw it.
Yeah.
So it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. We'll give that person a shouts out next hour. But so rickemersonshow.com is where you can find that, starting a little bit after 1 o'clock, after a brief musical interlude. Today coming up, we got your penis watch. And a geek watch. Also, the top five and Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. Here's Don Taylor.
A Gresham police detective accused of drunk driving appeared in court on Tuesday. In January, Clackamas County deputies said they found Jason Servo in a city-owned SUV in a ditch. Deputies ticketed Servo and allowed someone else to drive him home that night. A judge arraigned him on one count of driving under the influence of intoxicants. So his name is Servo. I like that.
I was trying to do a joke, but there's no joke I can do that wouldn't require the voice.
Right. Prison officials say an inmate at the Washington State Penitentiary in Walla Walla attacked a guard with a ballpoint pen. Correction officers said the attack happened inside a unit reserved for inmates with mental health issues. Investigators said the guard was stabbed in the head and sustained a dislocated shoulder in the attack. The union representing corrections employees said the guard was bleeding profusely from the head after the attack. He was treated at a hospital in Walla Walla. A spokesperson for the penitentiary said two other guards and another inmate were injured when they tried to come to the rescue of the corrections officer. The inmate was said to be in segregation late Tuesday night. He's serving time for several accounts of assault with a deadly weapon. Now union members have scheduled to picket at 10 locations across the state, including the penitentiary in Walla Walla and a correction center in Monroe, where a guard was attacked and killed by an inmate earlier this year. Representatives for the Teamsters say corrections officers are calling for safer working conditions.
You know, well, maybe working in a place that's not full of criminals might be a step forward. But, you know, people don't really do anything profusely except sweat and bleed. I can't really think of the last time I heard somebody go, and he blanked profusely, and that it was, you know, and it was like gardening. He was troweling profusely. It doesn't really, you know.
Drooling.
Yeah, no, it's always just blood, and it's always blood and sweat.
Huh.
I have no point.
I have to think about that. No. Two fetuses will appear before an Ohio committee as witnesses on Wednesday, reports the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Is this the beginning of a joke?
No, sadly it's not.
Okay.
The fetuses will testify in support of a proposed heartbeat bill that bans abortions after a fetus's heart starts beating. Accompanied by their mothers, the unborn young will appear, quote, live and in color before the House Health and Aging Committee on a video screen projecting ultrasound images.
Is this a thing where, like, the Conan O'Brien thing where there's, like, the lips over the face?
Oh, I hope so.
Hello. I just flew in. Boy, my arm's tired.
Don't abort me. Look at me. I have a heartbeat. Yeah. And then they do a little dance. The two women agreed to participate are 9 weeks and 11 weeks pregnant. Abortion rights advocates say the testimony is pure courtroom theatrics. They also note that the chair of the committee barred abortion rights supporters from submitting testimony. Although abortion rights groups have dismissed the hearing as an absolute circus, it may have serious implications. The heartbeat bill is the first of its kind and appears to have sufficient support in the Ohio legislature to pass.
See, this is awesome. This is exactly the sort of trial that needs to happen all the time. Hearings like this need to take place around the clock on a channel that is beamed into my home. So that I don't have to search anywhere else for my, because right now it's like you got a trial here, a trial there, some sort of a hearing happening over there, and they're all in different channels at different times. There just needs to be, and there's court TV, but court TV half the time is just doing like, they're just doing like revisiting the Fatal Vision guy, you know, over and over again. Who cares? So I just need to have just a channel that just beams things like this. Especially the best part is when they say it's pure courtroom theatrics. Did they do it? Did they like stand up and like throw something down on the table and go, "Your Honor, this is absurd"? And then the judge who was a sage black man said, "Well, I'll allow it. You know, it is highly unusual." And then talked about his mama, as my mama would say.
I would watch court TV if it was actually like that. And if there was, like, you know, testifying fetuses and all of that stuff.
It seems like if you can testify, then, you know. Well, first of all, you can get a job.
Pull your own weight. Here's the thing, though. Really, fetuses are testifying? Because I could see maybe submitting them as evidence.
They're testifying like in a pike sort of way. Beep, beep.
Yeah. Beep. Wave one of your flippers once for yes and two for no.
But you can't say that because then if it does, then you're, you know, then
yeah,
you see, this
so.
Is why they don't put you in charge of the other side, because it's, you know, then you'd be effed.
Yeah. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker continues to defend his budget plan and the budget repair bill that goes along with it. Walker says hard decisions had to be made.
I'm sorry, what cut is this?
Wisconsin.
It should be no surprise to the people of the state, particularly to the folks in the Capitol, as to the path we set out. We knew we'd have to be pulled. But we knew the alternative is either massive cuts and layoffs, which I think are unacceptable, or, as a handful have suggested, massive tax increases.
Okay. I don't live there, so, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Here's Don Taylor.
Police in Pennsylvania said a pizzeria owner was arrested for trying to sabotage the competition via, quote, food terrorism by mice. Upper Darby Police Superintendent Michael Chitwood said Nicholas Galiatsatos, 47, owner of Nina's Bella Pizza, is facing charges of disorderly conduct, harassment, and animal cruelty. Chitwood said Galiatsatos came into Verona Pizza while two officers were dining Monday and asked to use the restroom. The owner of the restaurant soon found footprints on a toilet seat, and the officers looked inside the ceiling and found a bag containing several live mice. The Philadelphia Inquirer quoted Chitwood as saying, "We've never had anything like this where mice have been used as an instrument of crime. This is food terrorism by mice."
So he's sort of like the Godfather, but instead of instead of taping up the gun, he's just going in, will you excuse me? And then he's just releasing rodents into the...
Yes.
That's sort of great. I mean, just in terms of criminality, because it's like, you know what it is? This is like the Roald Dahl thing of like, killing the husband with the leg of lamb and then serving it to the cops. Because there's no, you know, he's trying to take down his competitors, but there's no weapon as such to be found. It's an organic, it's a green weapon, really, is what this is.
They're also investigating allegations that the same guy planted live mice in a trash can at yet another pizza place, which is across the street from this one.
Well, I mean, hey, if it works, it works. You know, yeah. it's like in Mortal Kombat. You find a button combo that's effective, you stick with it.
The illegal abuse of prescription drugs is Florida's greatest public health threat, according to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The agency reports that 7 people die in the state every day due to prescription drug abuse. One of the biggest problems, according to law enforcement, is the number of so-called pill mills, clinics where doctors prescribe pain medications to people without medical necessity. ABC Action News researched the number of pain clinics operating in the state. And they found that Florida currently has more pain clinics than McDonald's or Burger King restaurants combined.
Excellent. Wasn't it just on Justified? Isn't that where the bus was going? The Oxy bus was going to Florida.
Was it going to Florida?
It was going to Florida, and they gave the guys each like $50 to get on the bus, go there, get like 2 bottles of Oxy, and then bring it back to Kentucky. That was, I think, they were going to Florida, and the one goes, I'm Joelle Carter, who. Was saying on Facebook the other day how much she loved us.
Yes.
She was saying, I know what an Oxy bus is. And it was just a whole bunch of thugs that they would just send to Florida. Okay.
Yeah, there are currently 38 active investigations into pain clinics suspected of operating as pill mills in Florida. Both agency numbers are higher than there are 1,167 registered pain clinics in the state. There are 860 McDonald's and 551 Burger Kings. So, yes, you have more pain clinics than McDonald's and Burger Kings
in Florida.
What's sort of
a band called Pain Clinic?
The drugs that caused the most deaths in Florida in the first 6 months of 2010 was oxycodone, which was tied to 715 deaths.
Well done.
That was in the first 6 months of last year.
It obviously works.
And then methadone and alcohol and cocaine caused a whole bunch, too. But, yeah. More clinics dispensing pain pills in Florida than Burger King's and McDonald's.
See, so there's sort of that's like the thing you always hear about the, you know, there's like more strip clubs than churches or whatever. Seems like there's contests you don't really want to win.
No.
Seems like that you get some that reverses on you a little bit. Hey, are you using that the Sharpie ballpoint pen, not even a ballpoint pen, but the Sharpie pen.
The clickable fine point Sharpie that, yes.
Is that what, except we were discussing that it's not actually a Sharpie as such, except in terms of brand, because it doesn't bleed through, that it's actually sort of, it actually is sort of like a pilot pen. Like, how would you, that's...
Yeah, because it's not...
It's not a fine point Sharpie itself, it's the brand Sharpie, but it doesn't have that little, like, you know, the little clothy, spongy tip that the... would you even call
it? And it smears, so it's obvious, it's not a permanent marker.
Like, what would you even call that pen? This is why it's not going to succeed, as much as I use that at home sometimes if I don't have a pilot, because you can't identify it properly without confusing people.
On the side of the pen, it just says Sharpie pen.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what they're calling it.
But they think somebody would confuse it with the clickable Sharpie?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah. This is what they would call improper line extension marketers.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm not sure. I don't understand why it's necessary.
No, it's
what
not.
What is this needed?
Well, it's a good pen. They should have just put it under a different name. That's the temptation to extend the brand name that always undercuts you in the end.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2011.
Singer Christina Aguilera, who was arrested for public intoxication, was released from jail early Tuesday morning from the West Hollywood Sheriff's Station. We have no desire to prosecute, none whatsoever. It's just for public safety, said L.A. County Sheriff spokesman Steve Whitmore. When she was able to navigate and to think on her own and make her own way, she was released. The 30-year-old singer was in a car driven by her boyfriend, Matthew Rutler, and Rutler was pulled over for a DUI.
Sounds like you're doing a Scooby-Doo thing every time you say his name.
As discussed extensively on the Rick Emerson show yesterday, 2.5 Men Charlie Sheen has continued his media blitz by joining Twitter. On Tuesday, Sheen posted his first tweet, which was a picture of him holding a bottle of chocolate milk and one of his 2 girlfriends, porn star Brie Olsen, holding naked juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actress Katie Holmes has filed a $50 million libel lawsuit against America Media, owner of the Star tabloid, which ran an article alleging she was a drug addict. Star magazine's malicious claims about Katie are untrue, unethical, and unlawful, said Holmes' lawyer. Not only do they cruelly defame Katie, they play a cheap trick on the public, making ridiculously false claims on the cover unsupported by anything inside. Someone should bring a class action to get all the buyers their money back, said her lawyer, Burt Fields. AMI released a statement. It stood behind the article, which claimed that Holmes has participated in Scientology it says audition sessions, and that's not what they call audit sessions is what they mean, using a device known as an e-meter.
Well, maybe she was auditioning as well. Look, we're going to need you to play the role of someone who's in love and happy. Can you do that? Can you smile? Oh, it's not convincing. Try harder. It will tase you.
The instrument, according to the magazine, may simulate the release of hormones that cause a pain-killing, mood-elevating effect. Former Little House on the Prairie actress Melissa Gilbert has split with her 60-year-old husband, Bruce Boxleitner. The estranged couple, who have a 15-year-old son named Michael, were married for 16 years.
And Rick Emerson steps up one place in line.
Gilbert also has a son from her past marriage to Beau Brinkman, and Boxleitner has two sons from his previous marriage to actress Catherine Oakley. She's leaving Boxleitner. How can that be?
Do you see that thing in do you see that thing in the New Advocate where it's Carrie Fisher just like flat out says John Travolta's gay?
No.
Strange. It's the second time she's done it in that magazine, by the way.
Interesting.
She's being interviewed about the wishful drinking blah blah blah, and talking about being, how she was married to a gay man for a long time and whatever. And anyway, it's strange because she just like flat out says it, which is the sort of thing that even if she said it, magazines typically wouldn't. They would not print something that was such a declarative statement for fear of some sort of action. But she basically, she just says it, which is sort of strange. I don't know why. Oh, I guess the Katie Holmes thing. I was thinking about that. So,
Tim Burton will direct Josh Brolin in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's odd.
The writing team of Kieran and Michelle Mulroney, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes sequel, will write the script. Josh Brolin will also produce the movie.
I don't know how I feel about that.
No.
I really don't. I like Josh Brolin. I really came around on him in recent years. Initially, I didn't really much care for him. I've really come around on him, and, you know, Tim Burton is capable of making good films. He opts not to most of the time now, but, I mean, he can do it. It's not like it's outside the realm of possibility.
And why he just keeps, I don't know, he just keeps making these remakes now of other things. And that don't necessarily need to be remade.
Yeah. No, sir.
But,
I don't like it.
In one of Dawn's girl crush news, actress Liz Vassy will star this season on an episode of Castle.
Actress who?
Liz Vassy.
I don't know who that is.
Liz Vassy was on CSI for a while. Before that, she was American Maid on the live-action version of The Tick. She was in a TV series, I can't remember the name of it at the moment, that was based on an Elmer Leonard novel. She's been around and has been working for a long time, but she's one of those actresses that I just have had this huge, huge crush on her for the longest time.
Would you like me to get her here so you can make out with her?
Sure, but I don't know if she'd want to make out with me.
No, but I'm just saying, if I could arrange for her to be here, do you agree to go through with your part of it?
Oh, sure.
That's a verbal contract.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
If she's up for it, you bet.
I'm up for it.
I love Liz Vassy.
Wow.
And my husband loves Liz Vassy, so it's kind of like we both have this sort of, like, every time something comes up, ooh, Liz Vassy.
So one of you could hold her down.
And so now she's going to be on an episode of Castle, so there'll be this whole Liz Vassy, Nathan Fillion thing going on, and my head may explode. Anyway, she's going to play a real estate broker in an installment that will air sometime in the spring. She's also on the Eliza Dushku show, True Calling, for a while as well.
Okay, first of all, I love her, and I didn't know who she was until like 30 seconds ago. Wow.
She is just a terrific actress, and she is just delightful and gorgeous, and she's just the whole package. She's just awesome. I love Liz Vassy. So kudos to the people at Castle for getting her on the show.
Wow. She played played Lab Tech Wendy on CSI.
Yes.
By the way, I'm seeing this on a blog where it is the title of the article is just called "This Is My Perfect Woman" in all caps. All right, there you go.
Yeah. A judge temporarily stripped Charlie Sheen of custody of his twin sons Tuesday after Brooke Mueller submitted a declaration which he alleged Charlie said, I will cut your head off, put it in a box, and send it to your mom.
He meant it in the nicest way.
Yeah. TMZ broke the story. Brooke's lawyer got a temporary restraining order against Jean, prohibiting him from going near her. The judge also ordered Charlie to surrender their sons, Bob and Max, to Brooke while the restraining order tape is in effect. Sheen says if he could talk to his boys, he'd tell them this.
Bob, Max, it's your dada, and I've never lied to you, and this is another example of that. And I will see you soon. You're in my heart, and I love you.
Yeah, according to the legal documents, Brooke also claims that on February 23rd, Charlie threw a phone inside his house, and then with a penknife in his hand, threatened to stick it in her eye.
I don't know why. Here's the thing. I read that phrase earlier this morning. I'm not saying it's funny to stick knives in people's eyes. Clearly, that's not a thing that's funny. I mean, it's not ha-ha funny. But it's just oddly specific, especially with a penknife, which isn't all that threatening anyway. Like, it's just sort of, it's weird. It's just like, you know, I'm going to stick this toothpick so far up your left nostril.
And the thing is, my husband and I threaten to stab each other in the eyes with thing all the time. So I suppose, you know, you could testify to that in court. But it's like, yes, I literally said I will stab you in the eye with a fork. But I just said that because he was going to take the last cookie, you know.
You and I have, I won't identify her publicly. You and I have a mutual friend that some years ago I walked into the studio and she and her boyfriend, her then boyfriend, were arguing. And one of them just said to the other, I am going to cut off your head and kick it down the street. And I was like, and then you just cut to me, and I'm going, ooh, sorry. And I just backed out of the studio real carefully.
Brooke Mueller is currently in day treatment for substance abuse. She says she'll see the kids for around 4 hours a day while the restraining order is in effect, and her mother will provide care for the rest of the day. Sheen was asked if he was caught off guard by this turn of events.
Yeah, came out of the bleachers, actually. I was told that a restraining order was being delivered, and I thought, okay, I can deal with that. And then it was revealed that it was something much more serious.
He also says Mueller is using his recent headline-grabbing comments to the media against him.
I think that she's latching on to some of this recent press, and I think a lot of people have to realize that, let's face it, the first interview and the one after that, I got everybody's attention, didn't I?
Boy, I have to tell you that I watched the Charlie Sheen thing last night, watched it again this morning. I had to drive for reasons that will... Anyway, I got to drive to it to Tigard and back this morning, so that's always fun. But I was just to amuse myself to make the drive more interesting. You know, usually it's music or the news or something. I was just listening to the Sheen, the audio of the Sheen interview again this morning. It was just so great. And then I got back and it was just nothing. It was like just text message after text message from like my wife who's watching it at home, and she's been kind of recovering from having the cold. And the Sheen thing was just the greatest gift I could have given her. I was like, it's on your computer. Here you go. And I mean, it really is just, there's not a, you hear that, where they say, not a dull moment, but that's never true. It really is true in this. It is just nothing. It's like someone has put together an album of just hit single after hit single. That's what his interview is like.
Well, that's all the entertainment.
All right. All right, there you go. It's safe to listen again. Jeff. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Today we got your Penis Watch and a Geek Watch, also Top 5, and Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. One more here.
Okay.
And we'll...
A tongue piercing is being blamed for an SUV crash Monday night in Quincy, Illinois. The police report shows that Jared Hill, 27, of Quincy, was driving home from the Quincy Mall where he had just had his tongue pierced when he passed out behind the wheel. Officials say Hill's Durango crossed through 2 yards before crashing into the side of a house, causing damage to both the interior and exterior of the home. Hill was taken to Blessing Hospital to be treated for his injuries. He was ticketed for improper driving.
And the ring and the tongue piercing was responsible. Why? Because he was distracted by how badly it hurt?
No, he passed out.
Oh, I see. From
while he was driving.
A combination of ow, 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 and also maybe drugs. You know, the kind that they would give you afterward.
Or just passing out.
Or just ow.
From ow. So one resident was at home at the time of the crash, but was not injured.
You know what I saw the other day? One of those guys who, and I was just talking to somebody. I was talking to one of the pirate guys on Outlook Portland about this. Just somebody says to me the other day in the street, the whole thing where he has like the weird serpent-y fork tongue thing going on.
Mm.
Why would you do that?
Because you think that you're never going to be over 40.
Yeah, that just seems like, I bite my tongue a lot now and I've only got the one. It seems like that's twice as many accidents waiting to happen while you're having cereal or whatever in the morning.
Yeah, it's like, basically that's just a way of saying, I never plan to have a serious job.
Or to have anybody kiss me, like, in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
All right. right. Well, with that, we bring the curtain down on this. Another exciting episode of Legion of News. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. We want to thank everybody, little people. Billy,
you,
Barty.
Jeff.
I want to thank the innumerable people, though, who have just been sending us. Because you said there were some stories sent to you by, I think, two or three different people today. So we thank everybody who does that. And we appreciate you listening to this fine program and spreading the word of Legion of News and all the entertainment broadcast here at Cascadia.fm. If you want to get the show later on today, you can do it via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com. We do come your way each and every weekday from noon until 1, right here from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk, it's Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow.